Aleluya. Amén. Shalom. Here we are in a new book. The book of Jude. This is a one chapter book. It was included here because it has talked about the theme of wolves that are in sheep clothes. It talks about false teachers and false prophecy. Jude is a very great book. One of the topics that we want to look at it from two installments or two sessions. In this session, we want to understand why he wrote this book. But we also want to see what Jude says that we must contend for our common faith. I think that's the most key and important thing. This book is written to help believers to contend for their common faith, to be able to identify who the wolves are. And not only that, to contend. To contend means to fight. To fight means to make sure that we are fighting back and we are making sure that the enemy does not put on his poison of false teaching to us and to our children, that we'll be able to protect everyone that is called by our name from the poison of false teaching. So we'll look at it that way. So let's understand a few things about Jude. Jude was written by half-brother to Jesus, challenging believers to defend and to contend for our common faith. Jude himself had transformed from meeting. Jude himself had transformed after meeting the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ from false teaching, from his false teaching of denying the divinity of Jesus, whom they had lived together in the same home for many years. Because Jude was half a brother, they have lived together with Jesus together, and they have never believed that Jesus was the Son of God. So they looked at Jesus, or he and his brothers and sisters, they looked at Jesus as just a normal person. So that was kind of a heresy they had lived with. But after the resurrection, Jesus met them, and Jude was also transformed. Here, we will focus on understanding the principles of stopping the poison of false teaching and false teachers before it reaches the minority believers who are near and dear to us. We learn that the enemy of our faith, the devil, attacks the hearts of the believers in at least two ways. Number one, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour and making the heart of a believer hard. So number one is that he can devour the heart and release the issues of life, and the heart of a believer becomes hard. Number two is that he poisoned the heart of a believer, thereby corrupting the issues of life, such as peace, joy, love, and joy of the Lord and grace. In this lesson, we will analyze the doctrine of false teaching and false teachers by answering at least the following questions. So in this book, we'll be able to answer who are the false teachers, what are the characteristics of the false teachers, what is their poison like, what is the punishment of those false teachers because God is going to punish them, how can we believers protect ourselves of the false teaching and even protect those that are our friends and those who are near and dear to us. And what is this false teaching? What does it look like? But in this session, we want to look at it from verses 1 to 10, because it's only one chapter. And here particularly, we will focus on understanding Jude as a person, as you have said, and his belief message, and the reason why the false teachers, why false teachers, disobedient believers, disobedient angels were condemned by the righteous judge. So we just want to look at the judgment of false teachers and even the prophets, those false prophets, and even believers, and even how God judged them in the past. Let's track together and we read those verses to see what God is telling us about the false teachings. Jude, greetings from Jude. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. What a great way to introduce yourself. People who have met Jesus have a very way, have a new way of humility. A proud person, as Jude was, together with his brothers, refusing to believe that Jesus was God, after his eyes was opened, he introduces himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. A slave of Jesus means a servant. I'm here to serve you, Lord. How long, how bad it is, what a tragedy it is for a people to live with Jesus for many years, more than 20 years in a family, and never realized that he was God. All this time, they took him as a mere person. And that's how it is today. Some of us live with Jesus, but we do not realize that he is Jesus. So we need to transform. We need to meet this resurrected Jesus. But he also says he's a brother of James, so that you can be able to describe him well. Then he says, I am writing to all who have been called by God, the Father, and who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that he is writing to all who are called by God, like you and me. Not only that, he's describing them, and he also who are loved by God, and those who be kept. He's also saying that they are also loved by God, and God also keep us in the care of Jesus Christ. So Jesus protect us. God protect us in Jesus Christ. Then he says, many, may God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Then let's look at the dangers of false teachers. That's what we want to focus on. Dear brothers or dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. Jude introduces us to a good dimension of discussion here, how God can be able to place a word in you, and how God can change a word that you had previously wanted to talk about. Does that mean that we plan without God? Not at all. But God can put an urgent message, because we are messengers of the Most High, and he can tell you, yes, you deliver this and this and this, but for now, I want you to deliver to start here. Remember, we are as his messengers, as his servants, we are ready to hear him. And he can direct us, just like you tell your messengers, tell this, take this letter, and it is more urgent. So when he was writing this, he was planning to write about the salvation that we all share. But now, he finds that the Holy Spirit impressing him to write about something else. That is urging the people to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all to his holy people. Now, God entrusts faith to us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that have not yet seen. It is that which made God happy. Without faith, you cannot please God. Everybody, God's people, God's holy people, you and I, are entrusted with faith. God put faith in us, but we have to defend that faith. That means, apart from making faith grow, which we discovered in the book of 2 Peter, when he was saying, in the midst of false teacher, grow in faith, grow in the knowledge and the grace of God. Jude is putting this idea that we are not only to grow in faith, but we also to defend faith. And that defending of faith is also called contending with this faith. That means we have got enemies who want to take the faith or destroy the faith that has been given to us. Could it there be that because we do not put parameters, some people have missed this faith? Let's learn how to defend faith. Jude says, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allow us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people were recorded long ago, for they have denied our Lord, our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Jude talks about why he's writing, that there's some people who have come into our fellowship, into our churches, and what they are preaching is a very immoral message. They are saying that you can take the grace of God in vain. That they, when they come in, he calls them the ungodly people. They come into our churches and say that the grace of God allows us to have sexual immorality, that we are free because the grace of God is the power of God, that the power of God helps us to do anything, including evil and unethical living. And they preached that way. And these are the people that Paul says, they take the grace of God in vain. So Jude says they have come in and they are teaching. They are saying, they allow. So they are coming in the name of the Lord. They are coming with chorus in them. But Jude says that their condemnation was recorded long time because they deny the Master and our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't we say that all false teachers, false prophets have got one thing in common? They deny Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus Christ first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them securely chained in prison, in darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. These cities, or those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of eternal fire of God's judgment. In the same way, those people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defy authority, they scoff at supernatural beings. But even Michael, one of the mightiest angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil at Moses' body. But these people scoff at things they do not understand. Like unthinking animal, they do whatever their instinct tells them, and so they bring about their own destruction. In short, Jude is giving examples of people who use the grace of God in vain, and even the angels. He talked about the children of Israel, whom God saved, but because they used the grace of God in vain, and especially at the mountain where Moses went up, they started worshiping the calf, and 23 of them were killed or were destroyed by God. So God talks about there is imminent judgment of those who take the grace of God in vain. And then he later turned to angels. He said, "The angels, these are created beings, and they are those who left their limits or their boundaries during the days of Noah, and they came and took the daughters of men, and they had sexual intercourse, and God bound them with chains, securely for the day of judgment." Then he went on talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that went on viral into sexual immorality and perversion. Then God also condemned them with fire. And then he also talked about that the same is reserved, that kind of judgment is reserved for all those who today, through their dreams, because they talk about dreams, who defy authority. And so you discover that something is very similar with what Peter had written. Jude and Peter, they must have compared notes, or they wrote from somewhere. God spoke to them to write the same thing, that these people who have warmed into a fellowship, they deny or they claim authority from their dreams. They talk about, "I dreamt, I saw a vision," but they live immoral lives, they defy authority, they scoff at supernatural. And we are told even Michael, the mightiest of the angels, did not do that. But he would always say, "The Lord will rebuke you." And we are being warned that we should not give them any space. We should contend for the faith that was given to us. Lord, give us the grace to contend for the faith that you have entrusted in us, in Jesus' name.